Hello, Lee. How are you?
Hello,
Lee's got one of those faces. I think,
what have I walked into?
What have I walked into? Yeah. Welcome to the UK, gentlemen.
This is Lee Daniels, who's the director of Precious, nominated for a BAFTA yesterday.
Nominated for several BAFTAs, four BAFTAs, including Best Film.
That was the one I was referring to.
Yeah, that was the one you were referring to.
So, congratulations, Lee, on the nomination list.
Thank you, sir.
Did you understand anything that Mark was saying there when he was talking about shopping list? Did your mind automatically spring to whatever it was he was talking about?
I just wanted him to speak English.
Yeah.
Or speak Ebonics.
Speaking on behalf of the nation. So you must have felt pretty good when that nomination list came out, though.
Yeah, how about I landed yesterday? I landed, and then that was the first message I got from my manager in Hollywood, and I thought that that was, I said, welcome, London.
We do that to everyone, though. When they come in, we just give them four awards nominations, just to make them feel at home. It was because you were flying.
Yeah, you're not special. People land.
He's got awards, believe me, that's how easy it is in this country.
But that aside,
it was so humbling. It was very humbling.
You must be feeling quite chipper.
I am chipper. Is that a chipper? What is chipper? Is
that it means jaunty.
Jaunty. I'm feeling quite chipper and chaunty and all
jaunty, not chaunty. Jaunty. Jaunt with a J. He really has landed in a totally foreign country, hasn't he?
He's thinking, this is going to be an education anyway for the next 20 minutes or so.
What do you think of my battle score?
I didn't want to say anything.
No, go ahead, say something.
I was going to say something.
Good.
What is it?
It's him and I had a fight.
Now, what happened
for some reason, believe it.
Mark's enormous hands have enormous fingernails, and he was flapping it about.
I bet you've got bigger hands than me.
No.
No, he hasn't. No, everyone in the world has smaller hands. Lee Daniels is the director of Precious. You may well have seen the posters. You may well have seen some reviews. Just give us the brief story outline that we see when we come and see your movie.
Yeah, it's a story about a girl that's learning how to read, and then in the 80s, and she is abused by her mother and her father, and she is. Learning to love herself. She learns to love herself. It's a story of a person trying to learn to love herself. Mm. Of a rose budding.
It sounded briefly as though you'd forgotten what the film was about. There.
I'd have a little jet lagged.
Halfway through the
episode. I think it sounded like, in a way, that kind of encapsulates the thing about it, is that it is a difficult film to describe. Consequently, I would think it is a difficult film to sell because it is a film about tough subject matter.
It really is.
I mean, we've both seen it, and admirable and very fine, but tough. And it's very, very hard to somehow to discuss exactly what it's about because it is a very tough subject.
When I hear people talk about the film, and you know, you read the synopses of a film, and I go, I don't want to see that movie. Like, why don't? But you got everybody that's seen the movie walks away saying, "Gosh, I'm so happy I saw that film," because on paper it doesn't sound like something you would want to see. When you're in there, very few people have told me that they are not happy that they haven't seen it.
No, I think that's right, but I think it's definitely true that if you started listing literally the events that happened, then this happens and this happens. It does sound like we were having a discussion a few weeks ago about whether there was such a thing as a depressing movie.
Oh, this
movie.
Is Paul Hilcutt from
John Hilcutt.
John Hilcutt,
the director of The Road, which is a tough story about.
And he said there's no such thing as a depressing film.
So there's either good films or bad films, and good films are inherently not depressing.
But there are clearly elements in Precious which are extremely depressing, just to sort of paraphrase what you were saying, Lee, when you walk out of the cinema, you will probably be feeling enlightened and uplifted.
Yes.
Would that be fair?
Yeah, and you know, also, there's some, you know, through the darkness, there's humor. I think we laugh, because we certainly laughed making the film a lot. And I love being able to tell people that before they see the film, they have the liberty to laugh, especially white people. You know, white people feel like, oh, I don't know whether I should be laughing at this. You should be laughing your horses off. Because it's that
laughing
kind of,
our horses off?
Yes, your horses off.
Well, maybe I didn't. I must have missed that bit. Tell us who you have playing the lead role.
I have a young lady named Gabby Sidibe who I interviewed 400 girls for this role. And, over 400 girls, and I try to look for the truth wherever I can find it, and so I'm looking for this. I call a Hollywood agent saying, "You got a 400-pound black girl," And I realized as I was saying it that what am I talking about? So I went to the 7-Elevens and the McDonald's and the train stations in New York City, and I started meeting girls with that were precious, but they were really precious. They were really the girls. They were, a lot of them were abused. A lot of them were illiterate. And then I had it down to 10 girls, and then Gabby walked in. And she was as good as the rest of the girls, but what separated her from the 10 that I liked was that after the audition, she started talking like this white girl from California. She's from the Valley. Oh, my God, I loved Monsters Ball, Lee. And she's like, what the, where are you from? And I realized that if I had been using the other girls, if I'd used those girls, I would have been exploiting them because they were the real preciouses of the world. So Gabby is able to bring a voice and articulate Precious's journey in a way that is not, in a way that the other girls would not have been able to do.
I think it's worth just mentioning the casting of the other characters because there are some real standout performances. Monique, first of all, playing the girl's mother, horrible, vindictive, sadistic woman. Why did you want to get Monique, a comedian, to get in there and get involved? Because she is extraordinary.
Thank you.
In the role.
Thank you so much.
But why her?
I think that comedians are brilliant actors. I think that, you know, they see... they attack a role in a different way. I remember Richard Pryor in Lady Sings the Blues or any Jim Carrey serious work. They comedians take it to another level because they have that third eye. Monique is a very, very twisted. She's a very English sensibility. You know, y'all English people, y'all ain't right. We love you because you ain't right. And she has that sort of twisted sort of humor. That
what
the
are you
Brits
saying?
Have. You know what I'm saying.
No, I don't.
I was really
so she got the role because she's slightly twisted.
Yeah,
like us.
That'd be correct.
That's pretty much what he's saying.
That's a compliment.
Shall I have a fight with him?
No, I'll scratch your other.
I know. Yeah, it's not a scratch. It's a gash.
No,
thank
it's
gash.
Just
deep.
All right,
it's a scratch. Yeah. That's what it is, and everyone can see that. I got to the end of the film. And we're not going to give anything away here, but I didn't know that Lenny Kravitz was in it.
You didn't?
No, I didn't spot. I mean, I know the character. I was thinking, that was Lenny
didn't
Kravitz.
Didn't go in there. No, exactly.
Thank
exactly.
You.
Quite extraordinary. He does a good little turn there.
Yeah.
Well, also, I mean, but equally importantly, you're in one of the key scenes for 5 minutes before you go, is it me or is that Mariah Carey?
Oh, you're sweet.
But I mean, seriously, I had no idea. I literally no idea that Mariah Carey, firstly, was in it at the beginning because I saw it kind of sight unseen. But secondly, yeah. how did she land that role? In fact, we have a clip. Should we play the clip which has Mariah Carey in it?
Now would be seem to be an appropriate
now would be a moment.
Moment.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the Mariah Carey clip then.
So tell me about your home life.
Ain't nothing to really talk about.
You're in a safe place. Just talk. What's going on? What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about home?
I just wish I had my own TV so I could watch in my room. If I had my own TV, I wouldn't have to watch it with my mother.
And what's it like watching TV with your mother?
You enjoy watching TV with your mother?
I need to know about your home life. I need to know what it's like where you live.
My mother's like a whale on the couch. She say I eat all the time, but she always making me eat. And she called me a fat mess. She said the apartment little because of me. Only time she ever leaves is to play her numbers. And feel like I could just sit in that house with her every day. The shade's drawn. Watch TV, eat, watch TV, eat again. Can you help out with that?
So that was Gabor. How do you pronounce her first name? You say Gabby.
I just call her Gabby.
Okay,
but
she's nominated for a BAFTA Best Actress nomination, and that is Mariah Carey.
That's Mariah Carey. But I got to tell you something. This is my first time really hearing it, and so Stevie Wonder has told me he's seen the movie twice, and so I'm thinking, you know, what does he go through? So I'm closing my eyes. I'm listening to the words, and even the background sounds are so pronounced here. So this was a. This was worth the visit of anything to understand how Stevie saw the film.
You could just have listened to the audio at home. I mean, what would you
I could have, but I never think about doing that.
But sorry, to get back to that original question then, how did Mariah Carey, and did you go look, did you know she was, how did she get that role?
Mariah, Helen Mirren, who had done a previous film of mine, Shadowboxer, I directed her in, was going to do this movie. And Helen, at the last minute, got a real job. And, because we don't pay no money. And Mariah came in to replace her, and...
But how did...
Well, what happened was that Mariah called me up 3 hours after Helen left. And she says, what are you doing? I said, I cannot talk to you right now. I'm looking, I have to cast my movie. And she said, what is it? I said, Push. She said, I know that book. And I said, oh. And the light bulb went off. I called, hung up with her, called Helen. I said, Helen, what do you think of Mariah filling in for you? And Helen said, it's expected of me. It's unexpected of Mariah. If you can pull it off, it would be killer. So I told Mariah, I want you to show up on set without any makeup. I want you to show in a taxi cab without your entourage. If you can do that and know that I'm going to put a mustache on you, put bags under your eyes, dye your hair, and give you the worst overhead lighting imaginable, we can rock and roll. And she did it. And I am so eternally grateful to her. Because of our friendship, she trusted me, and I think that, you know, I'm really proud of her.
Yeah. Can I say now, in the realms of prediction, I do think that Monique will win the Best Supporting Actress award at the BAFTAs. I think that is very likely. I think she's got a very, very good chance of winning that. Can I ask you also, one of the things that the film does is...
Now, is he jinxing me?
No, I'm not. That's what I'm not saying.
Yeah, quite likely.
I'm getting out of here.
Okay, fine. Yeah, it's gonna be. One of the things that the film does is in its most extreme moments, it moves into fantasy sequences. We have the central character who kind of escapes the horror of her real life by kind of escaping into these quite extravagant fantasy sequences. Which, considering the very ultra realism of some of the other parts of the movie, it seemed like a very bold move. Is that something which is in the novel, and is that there just for her escape, or is it also to give us the audience? Because one of the things that I felt was when those fantasy sequences happened, I was glad to be out of the world with your central character because it was so tough.
Right. Boy, you talk fast.
Welcome to England. He breathes through his ears.
Wow. I think that if I had done the book the way the book is, it would have been rated X.
Okay.
And so what I did was we created this fantasy world that... for ratings, because you couldn't possibly live what the book. I couldn't show you what the book
describes,
and so we do that. But also, I think that the audience needs to breathe. I think that we need to breathe from the insanity that is that we've seen, and it's like a roller coaster, and it adds a little bit of humor to it, unexpected humor to it, and I remember when I was a kid. When bad things happened to me, I would fantasize, and so I put the fantastical sort of into this dark world.
The criticism, Lee, when it's come.
Shushy.
Good cop, bad cop. You see,
shushy. Shushy.
What's shushy mean? What's that? Is that an expression that means? Don't ask me these questions.
Yeah, I'm listening. What's the criticism?
Okay, the criticism, is that, in fact, I mean, you were very, before showing it at Cannes, you were a little bit nervous, you weren't sure whether to show it, whether it would give the false impression, give the wrong impression. So when New York Times has mentioned Armand White, his critic for the New York Press, he says that it demeans the idea of black American life. It's that kind of criticism, that people will look at that film and they'll take away some black stereotypes, which frankly are unhelpful.
Yeah. I think that's an opinion. I think that we, you know, as journalists, people look at that one opinion. They are far and far few between. We were nominated for 8 NAACP Image Awards, which is sort of pays homage to the depiction of African Americans, which is an honor. You know, we got 8 of them. So America has spoken. Black America has spoken loud and clear.
And it never occurred to me watching the film that this was a black film. Really, it just was a film about an abusive family.
Yeah,
and the criticism seemed to be suggesting that the implication of the film is that would only happen in black families. It just seemed crazy to me.
Well, that's one out of every 100 people, and you would expect that anywhere. But I think that my mother always said the truth will set you free, and it is you know, before I went to Cannes, I was nervous showing the movie. I said, I don't know whether or not, because it was like somebody was, like I was a fly in somebody's bedroom or I was in the bathroom. And I was really exposing a world that had never been exposed before. And I was nervous. Then I realized, you know, wait a minute, hold up. This is not a black movie. I'm a black filmmaker. But this is a, this is about Chinese people. This is about African people. This is about English people, French people. This is a celebration of Precious. I think we all have Precious in us.
Who was it who said that? You quoted that?
Armand White, critic for the New York Press.
He's wrong.
Who, by the way, gave Monique the Best Supporting Actress award.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. But he's well, wrong in saying that.
And also, when it was shown at Cannes, did it not get a 15-minute standing ovation at the end?
Yeah. Okay. That was beyond anything that I... You know, I left the room because I didn't know how to... You know, after 7 minutes, it gets sort of embarrassing. So I turned to my mother.
Yeah, we find that, don't we? We kind of shut off after 7 minutes.
Well, 7 minutes of a standing ovation.
Yeah, we just, that's enough, really.
You sort of like, you know, you want to... You want
I don't know at all. I don't know what it's like to have a 7 minute
well,
standing ovation.
Out of body. You leave your body. And so you leave. So I turned to my mom. I turned to Mariah. I was like, this has got to stop. And I turned to my mother. I said, make him stop, you know, because I'm embarrassed. And so I leave the auditorium. The theater.
I think that's the first rule that we've established today. First rule of Wittertainment. After 7 minutes of your standing ovation, it's probably polite to leave.
Because, you know, after that it just becomes, you know, flim-flam.
We have three questions which we have to ask every single guest. It's called format, okay?
Format?
It's format.
It's to give the program the illusion of having a format, as opposed to just two blokes in a room making it up.
So here's the first question. Okay. The first film that you ever went to see. Is what?
A Western. A Western where a woman was breastfeeding her child, and I remember being aroused.
More about it other than that? Just that
it was a Western. I was 5, 6.
Right, that's a surprising answer. And you don't remember the name of the film?
I don't.
Somebody will text you.
Sorry.
What year? How old are you?
I'm 50.
So
it was a...
45 years ago then.
45 years ago. Yeah.
So, what do the maths on that? I don't know. Are you really 50?
I'm 50.
Wow, you look much younger than me. So that makes you... It was 1963, sometime around there. Somebody text and tell us what that is.
Okay. A film that you've cried at, or a scene in a movie that you've cried at?
Terms of Endearment.
This is blubbing.
Okay, Terms of Endearment... When Shirley MacLaine is screaming and pounding her hands on the... Someone get a doctor.
Do you cry easily?
Was that
films?
A good one?
It was, but although it wasn't quite as tear-jerking as Shirley MacLaine in the Oscar acceptance speech when her and Deborah Winger were making it all up. Do you remember that? And she saluted the incendiary performance by Deborah Winger,
I'm going to take you home. This is you should go. You should be in America.
Yeah, believe me, a lot of people here have said that, but not in a good way.
What would you do to him in America?
Put him on a radio show.
But what's wrong with this radio show?
Nothing's wrong with this radio
show.
Well,
what do you want to take him away from it
third
for?
Third question.
Okay, the third question takes everything as criticism.
Is there a movie that you have really, really liked, but everyone else has hated? Something that, you know, was you thought, this is great, and everyone doesn't get what you're talking about.
Yeah, I do.
One of yours.
John Waters did a movie called Female Trouble, starring Divine. Yeah. That is just outrageous. I love it. And Andy Warhol's Heat with Joe DeLisandro.
Little Joe DeLisandro, yes.
And Sylvia Miles.
Yeah.
And why do you think you got it and they didn't?
I don't know. I think Sylvia Miles is a you like Sylvia Miles?
You know, but I was going to say...
It's a tour de force.
But yes, but in this, on the subject of Female Trouble, a lot of people love Female Trouble. It is a cult classic.
Is it?
Yes, it's still not available uncut here for, I believe, legal reasons, which refers back to the Obscene Publications Act, which I mentioned earlier on. But yes, it is a cult classic. All the early John Waters trash trilogy, Desperate Living, Female Trouble, Pink Flamingos, are considered by most... trash aficionados to be great movies.
So I guess I'm just that then.
Yeah, no. So what you need to come up with is something like Norbit, a film that really...
Norbit?
Yeah, exactly. That nobody likes, but you like.
Well,
anyway.
I don't know. We mentioned the listener right at the
beginning.
Hold on.
No.
I thought
sorry.
Something was coming there for a moment, and then mine went blank.
You know, it's like the fact that I like Hudson Hawk.
well, something's really wrong with you.
Yeah, exactly. That's
really,
exactly, really wrong.
Oscar, I like Oscar.
Oh, yeah, there's something's really wrong with
you.
I
like Oscar.
That's with Sylvester Stallone singing and dancing.
Yeah.
Or actually doing neither, but attempting to do both in a really tight suit.
Yes.
And he moves around like that.
What are you working on next, Lee?
I'm working on a musical. I'm developing a musical, which I'm really excited about. And I'm currently working on a film called Selma that is about the Selma March with Martin Luther King and Lyndon Johnson and what it was like to vote for African Americans in Alabama.
A listener suggests that your Western might have been Paint Your Wagon. Would that have been 1971?
Did she bare her breasts?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't had a chance to fast forward through the movie.
Paint Your Wagon sounds like a musical.
It is.
Is it? Yeah. Well, this was not.
Okay, fine. Well, we're done. Lee, thanks very much indeed. Wish you all the best for the award season. May you go home with your mantelpiece.
We're opening Friday. We're opening
next Friday.
Yes.
And we'll bring it up again then. Don't worry, we'll do the plugging.
Lee Daniels, thanks very much indeed. His movie is precious. Thanks very much.